Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesuvos Daf Mem Zayin. We begin with the very top words of Mem Zayin Mal Aleph, which actually continues from, we said this yesterday, from the very last two words of Mem Vavam Mem Beis, that the father is Zakai B'mitziyoso. How do we know that? And the Gemara says, as we turn to Mem Zayin Mal Aleph, Mishum Eva. Now, we discussed this yesterday, but I'll go into a little bit more detail today. We see the Rashi inside, the top Rashi. It says that the Kivan, the Eino Chayev B'mitziyosel, technically the father is not obligated to support his daughter. Again, most of the fathers will. But if you tell him, in addition to him voluntarily supporting his daughter, now she finds $10, he doesn't get that. So you know what's going to cause? It's going to cause a hatred between him and his daughter. He's going to say, listen, that's it. I'm not supporting her. And therefore, he's no longer going to support her. So therefore, the rabbis were masaki that any of the mitzios that she finds go to the father in order to prevent this discord that could possibly occur. Again, it's hard for us to understand that a father wouldn't support his young daughter, especially. Nevertheless, this was a concern during the times of the Gemara. Tosfos gives a slightly different reason. He first quotes Rashi, but then on the second line he says, Uluri, the end of the second line he says, Uluri nira eva de mitziyosa. What does he mean, the eva de mitziyosa? Cause a hatred over here. If you don't give him the mitzios, that the father may, if he has no reason not to do so, because he doesn't get the mitzios. So again, difficult for us to understand. The father may go and marry off the daughter to the first person that he can, even though that person is a menuvel, not a high quality person, a low character person, or a person that never has boils all over his body, a mukoshchen. And therefore, in order to prevent the father from getting rid of the responsibility of taking care of this daughter, so we give him the mitzios of the daughter. Okay, now we continue with brand new stuff. But how do we know that the father is entitled to the handiwork of his young daughter? So we know them. Where do we know that? The Gemara says, the Omar, Rav Huna Omar, Omar Rav, Rav Huna tells us the name of Rav, how do we know that the father is entitled to the handiwork of his daughter, the earnings that his daughter has from whatever work that she may do, her babysitting? So, we had this pasuk previously, we had this drasha previously. It says that if a father sells his daughter off to be an amo evriya, Nebuch, he couldn't support her, and this way he's hoping to get her married to either the person that he's selling her to, or the son of the person that he's selling her to, but he does have the halachic right to do so. So therefore, we darshan out over here, ma amo ma'isya del rabba, just like this amo avriya is now anything that she does, since the master is supporting her, so the handiwork that she has, any earnings that she has from any work that she does, go to that master, so too, since the father is the one that sells her, ma amo ma'isya del rabba, abbas ma'isya del avriya, so too, the handiwork goes to the father. That's the drasha that Rav Huna or Marav tells us. Moshe says, who says that that's true for a Naira? Maybe that's true of Ema, Hani, Mi, Liktana. That would be true for a young girl, the Motzi Mizabila, because he's allowed to go and sell off his daughter before the age of Naris. However, Avol Naira, once the girl reaches the age of Naris, he's not allowed to sell her anymore. Avol Naira, the Lo Motzi Mizabila, as we pointed out previously, if she goes free by having the simonim of Naris, she's sold for a maximum 6-year period of time, but let's say after 3 years she gets simoni Naris. He sells when she's a 9-year-old girl, and now she's 12 years old, and she has simoni Naris, so then she goes free. So the Kal Vachomer that we learned previously was certainly if she goes free when she was already a slave, when she hits Nara, so certainly the father doesn't have the right to sell it when she's a Nara. So therefore, Avon Nara, Lo Motzi Mizamala, the father can't sell off his daughter when she's a Nara. So maybe in that situation, maybe in that situation, we no longer have this drasha that Rav Huna Marav said that's only true for a Ketana, but it wouldn't be true for a Nara. So therefore, in that situation, maybe the Maisi Yodeh of a Nara belonged to her and not to her father. Of course, says no. Still makes sense to say that even the Maisi Yodeh of a Nara belong to the father. Mistavra, it's a good Svara, it's a good rational thinking to say Davi Yahavu, that it's the Maisi Yodeh, even of the Nara, belong to the father. Why is that? Because the Soka Daitoch, if you're going to tell me no, Maisi Yodeh loved Yavia, that her Maisi Yodeh of the Nara don't in fact belong to the father, it belongs to her, so then doesn't make sense, because Elo, Hod Zakile Rahmana La'av, Lemimsu Lechuppa, that which is saying that the father has the right to hand her over to the Chuppa, as Rashi points out, Diramasal Hod Zakile, he says, the Chasiv, as Biti Nosati, the Pasuk tells us that the father has the right to give over his daughter from the whole situation of Motzi Shema. He says, no, I gave over my daughter to this man. So you clearly see that he has the right to give it over. Kol Nusinos Shabbat B'mashma, and that includes every aspect of giving her over. V'osayom Eina Osa Malacha. And that's what the Gemara continues now. Rashi says, in this situation, when you're telling me the father has the right to give her over for the chuppah at any point in time, how could he possibly give her over to the chuppah? He's saying, listen, you're getting married tonight, so you can't go to work today. So how does he have the right to go and do that? it's not his work. If you're saying that he gets the handiwork, so then he has the right to be mevatel because it's his loss. But if he tells her, listen, you're going to the chuppah tonight, so then she's losing out on work that day. How does he have the halachic right to go and cause her this financial loss? Oh, it must be mistabra d'yaviyahavu. As the Gemara said, it makes sense to say that the father is entitled to her handiwork even as a nara. This, however, is questioned by the Gemara. Parak Rav Achai. Rav Achai says, wait, maybe emo d'yav lo schar pikata. Maybe when the father says, okay, you're going to the chuppah tonight, she says, I'm losing a day's work. She says, okay, I'll pay you for the day's work. So you would have made $20 today. So here's $20. Come to the chuppah. So therefore, that's maybe why the father is allowed to go and marry her off and cause her a loss of work, because he has to make up the loss of work. But lav dafka, that the ma'isiyah there are hers. That's what Rav Achai asks. Furthermore, you can even strengthen this question by saying, even if you don't say, even if you don't want to say that the father has to pay her for the $20 that she's not earning that day, inami, you could say, the mosa lo belelya. You know what? Work ends at 5 o'clock. No, at 5:30, you're getting married. So you can work till 5 o'clock, and at 5:30, you're getting married. So I'm not causing you any loss of work, any loss of wages. So that could be also parak Rav Achai. You could say, inami, because the mosa lo belelya, he gave her over to the husband, to the chuppah, at nighttime. So there is no loss of work. So you can't bring me a raya that from the fact that the father can cause her a loss of work, it must be that he's entitled to a ma'asi yodea. No, maybe there is no loss of work in this situation, and therefore you have no raya that the ma'asi yodea belonged to the father. And even a third kasha that Rav Achai could ask, inami, the mosa lo b'shabbos is yom tovim. He gives her over to get married on Shabbos and Yontif. Now, we of course know that you're not allowed to give over somebody to get married on Shabbos and Yontif. Ein marvin simcha b'simcha. We had learned this previously. And what we're dealing with over here is the period of time right before Shabbos and Yontif when we don't work. So in that period of time, so technically she's not losing any wages. So that's when the wedding is occurring. And therefore, these are the three possible questions that Rav Achai asks. If the father could pay her for her time that she's losing, or he gives her over to a time when she's not able to work, such as nighttime, or as the Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, when there is no work at that point in time. So therefore, you can't tell me, Mistabra d'yaviyahavu. So we're left with our original question. Okay, Tana, we could learn that from the drasha from V'chim Kor Ish es Bitol Yoma. But how do you know in Nara the Ma'isiyah they'll go to the father? So Gemara says, you're right. Ella, this is the reason. Tana lo tzricha kra. To teach me that the father is entitled to get the Ma'isiyah del of the Tana, I don't need this pasuk that Rav Huna Amar Rav said, because Hashta Zabunim is Avinla. Since the father has the right to sell her, he obviously gets the money that he sells her, Ma'isi Adel mi boy, then it's a Kavu Chomer that certainly he gets the Ma'isi Adel. He can actually go and sell her. So certainly if she does any handiwork, if she has any wages or any earnings, they go to the father. Ella, ki yitzruch kra. Therefore, we need the Pasuk, Linara, to teach us that the Nara, that she too, even though the father can't sell her, that's what we need the pasuk. V'chim kor ish es bitol yoma. Im einu ilin nizeh, tenei ilin nizeh. If we don't need it over here to teach me the ikur din of a ketana, so then use it to teach me the din by anara. As Rashi says in Kiyitzu Kol Anara, the Afal Gav Diko Kor Ketana, even though the apostle is clearly talking about a ketana, nevertheless, Miu Kro Yaseiru, it's totally unnecessary. Dechsiv Li'oma, so what does it tell me? Kiyim Kor Ish Esbito. Obviously, Li'oma. So the X word Li'oma is coming to be a drasha to teach us that the din applies to anara. Imenu Inyan Lezeh, Tzneyu Inyan Lezeh. Okay. Gemara now continues and quotes the Mishnah. It says, "Baforis of the Rail, the father has the right to be going made for the vows that his daughter makes when she is a ketana or a nara." Gemara asks, "You know, how do we know this? So this is very responsible to say, Binurel Beisavia in the Sukkim in the Torah that deals with Baforis Nedarim." So it says, "Beferish over there that the father has this right." Then it said in the Mishnah, Makabel Eskita, if the daughter only had the first stage of marriage, Erisin, the father married her off, so it's a Daraisa marriage, and there's only the first stage of marriage, Erisin, she didn't go yet to Chuppah, there's no Nisuin, and the husband says, sorry, I don't want to go through with this, and he divorces her. So in that situation, the father's Makabel Eskita. Minolan, how do we know this? The Gemara says. So the Pasuk tells us, Tilsiv, the Pasuk tells us, V'yotza mibeso v'holcho v'hoisa li'ishacher. The Pasuk tells us that she leaves her father's house and got married to someone, and then subsequently she got divorced by that man and she married somebody else. And if she married somebody else, then this is the din of, she's not allowed to go back to the first husband. The issur of machzor grushas applies in that situation. But from the fact that we make the hekesh over here between the yotz of ahaisa and the pasuk, the yotz of ahaisa of ahaisa of ahaisa li shacher, that comes to teach me iskush yitzio lavoya. Just like she leaves, so too she comes in. And therefore, the marriage is analogous over here to the divorce. And just like the father has the right to marry off, until she's a full nesua, the father also is makabel as gita. Finally, we quote the Mishnah. It says the father, the Eina Ochel Peros Bechaya. The father, if the daughter has any properties, let's say she inherited from her mother, she has a different mother than the father's wife. That mother, let's say, got divorced from her father, and she is the only inheritor of that mother, so therefore she inherited property from that mother, so that belongs to her. But the father doesn't have the right to go and use those properties. The produce of those properties don't go to the father, as opposed to, as the next part of the mission says, by the husband does have this right of what's called usufruction, that the husband does have the right to benefit from the produce of those properties, albeit he has to go and return them at the conclusion of the marriage, either by divorce or death. He has to return them back to the wife. If the wife dies, then he inherits the wife. But the father doesn't have that right. The Eina Ochel Peros Bechaya, while the daughter is alive, so then those produce belong to her, and the father has to set up like a bank account, a trust account, for all those peros that are produced. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us that not everybody agrees to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ha'av Eina Ochel Peros Bechaye Bito, and that's what the Braisa says as well. However, that's the Tana Kama, the Braisa, that's the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yossi, who's the son of Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees, and he says, no, Ha'av Ochel Peros Bechaye Bito. He disagrees and says, just like the husband can, so too can the father go and eat the produce from the fields that she owns separately from the father. Any field that she owns, is the father is entitled to, just like the husband is entitled, the father is entitled to eat the peros that grow from that field. So Gemara says, what's this machlokes between the Tanakhama of this Braisa and Rabbi Yossi Yehuda? And the Tanakhama is the author of our Mishnah. So why are they arguing with Rabbi Yossi Yehuda? But Michael Miflagi. So Gemara says, the Tanakhama of this Braisa, which is the author of our Mishnah, Tanakhama Savar Bishloma Baal, we understand why the din is that the husband has the rights to eat the peros from the fields that the wife brings in. These would be called the nichsei melug that the wife brings into the marriage. Takinu le'rabbanan peri. We understand that Chazal u'masakin that the husband has the rights of usufruction. He has the right to go and eat the produce. He can't go and sell that field. That field belongs to the wife. It's her nichsei melug. He has the right, however, to go and use the produce that are made from that field. Why did Chazal set that up? Because the im kain, because if we don't allow this, mimna below parik, he's going to not go and redeem his wife. If Rachman al-Lusan, she's captured. Because he will say that, listen, here's a nice nest egg that we've been collecting for her redemption. So if there isn't enough money there, he's going to say, tough luck. Sorry, I wasn't able to use that. And again, it's difficult for his to understand that the husband wouldn't want to redeem his wife. He says, no, I'm not redeeming it on my money. And the expectation is that the wife would have the money to redeem herself from the produce that had been growing from the Nisim Milog. So we're concerned about that. And therefore, the rabbi said, let him go and enjoy the produce from the nichsei melug that she brings into the marriage. And therefore, as Rashi points out, he's not going to keep such a strict accounting over here and say that, well, you know, I ate only $1,000 worth of stuff and they're asking for the ransom for $1,500, so therefore I'm not going to go and ransom her. No, he's going to say, no, Mistama, I've enjoyed the benefits of this, and therefore now that there's a cost for it, I'm willing to pay it. That's by the husband to the wife. And therefore, the rabbis were masaking that he gets to eat the nichsei melug peros in order that he will eventually redeem her without any questions. However, el the father, el af, ma'ik el mem, what are you going to tell me? The father is mimna below par. The father, if he doesn't get the enjoyment of eating the peros of his daughter's properties, he's not going to redeem his daughter, the mimna below parik. So the Tanakhama of the Braisa, the author of our Mishnah, says, "Balaf halchi parik." What are you talking about? The father, of course, he's going to redeem his little girl. So therefore, there is no such concern, and therefore, the rabbis didn't institute such a gzera that the father's entitled to eat the produce that come from the fields that the daughter owns. No, that's a very good svara. What does Yosef Yehuda have to say about that? For Yosef Yehuda svara, he says, "No, money is money. Av nami mimna below parik. If the father's not entitled to eat from the produce of the field, he's going to also look at it from a cold, calculated financial point of view. It says, no, she has her nest egg. Let her go redeem herself with that money. No, there's not enough there. There's not enough there. That's her problem, not my problem. Again, very hard for us to put ourselves into the financial considerations that went through in their time. Again, we can't imagine a father selling his daughter. We can't imagine a ketana getting married. We can't imagine that a ketana could work and not go to school. So again, very difficult for us to understand these because it's just not the way our lives are lived. However, the halachas, those we can understand. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no, if we don't allow the father to go and eat from the produce of his daughter's field, so av nami mim na below parak, he may also say, I'm not going to go and redeem her. Because he's going to say, sover, kisa nikita ilobe. As Rashi points out, this is her nest egg. Kisa mole mos yesh lo beskula. She's had this trust account over here that I've been setting up for her for all the produce. When we sell it, we put it into our trust account. Vyadheno lo nanesi mehem. Rashi explains, as I already said outside, is where I got it from. So Rashi says, I haven't had any benefit from this nest egg. So atoti bodas atzva. So let her go and redeem herself with the rest of this money of this nest egg. No, vimi choser ani lo mashlam. And if there's not enough there, that's her problem, not mine, because I've never gotten any benefit from it. Tezel v'sifro nafsho. Let her go and redeem herself from this trust account that she has. And no, if there's not enough there, the father's not going to redeem her either. So therefore, Rav Yosef Yehuda says the financial calculation is similar by the husband and the father. Whereas the Tanakhama says, no, there's no way the father won't redeem his daughter. So Rav Yosef Yehuda says, unfortunately, the father's going to look at this from a cold financial point of view and say, listen, I've never gotten any benefit from these fields. Let her go redeem herself. And if there's not enough there, that's her problem, not mine. Then we go to the second part of the Mishnah, where it says, when the girl gets married, Nisa, so now she's in a suah, a full-fledged marriage, so then her husband has different rights, more rights than the father had. Yasser, olaf habal, shu'ocha v'chule. In that situation, we say that the husband does have the right to go eat the peros b'chai ishto. He has the rights to eat the peros from the nichsei melug, and in addition, the other things that the Mishnah mentioned, v'chule, which we'll touch upon now. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Kosav lo peros kisus v'chelim, if, in fact, the father, when he writes up the dowry, the additional peros, produce, the kisus, the clothing, and the chelim, the utensils, that he brings into the marriage on behalf of his daughter, so he says, Shiavo imo mi beis avil, a beis bala, and they go from his house to her house, her new house with her husband, so the husband is going to be entitled to have all of these things that the father of his kala put into the ksuba, that these additional things I'm bringing into the marriage. So what happens, Rachmana Lusan, if she dies? The Nesa, and here we're dealing with after the Erisin, this was all written up at the time of the Erisin, as Rashi says, in Dira Masu Kosal Paris Kusukalim, Pasak Lo'ab bin Idunya, so this is the Nidunya, the dowry that he's bringing in, Shetachnis Labala, he's bringing in Metalpalin, these various movable items, such as Kagon Peros, he's bringing in 100 bushels of wheat that are already cut, Lushin, Oksus, and various clothing, Vikalim, and other utensils. The Kosva law, Minu Erisin, and he writes this as part of the Erisin arrangement. So, Mesa, and then, as Rashi points out, Be Erisin, she dies while she's in Arusa. So, in that situation, this Brisa says, Lo Zocha Habal Badvarim Halolu. The husband isn't entitled to them. Because these will give it over with the understanding that they would be a Nesua. The wife would become his full-fledged nesua. And if Rachmana Lislan, she dies before that happens, so the father says, no, I didn't intend to give it to her during the Erisin period of time. I expected this to take effect only when there was nesuin. Since Nebuch, she died before this nesuin, so the father in this situation says that I want all of this back, and it doesn't belong to the husband. Lo zocha abal b'dvar malalu, until the actual nesuin takes place, even though it's written by the Erisin. However, the Braisa says, Mishum Rabbi Nosson Amru, Zocha Abal B'dvar Malalu. Rabbi Nosson disagrees, and he says, no, the husband is entitled to this. It was written at the time of the Erisin, and he's entitled to it even Nebuch if his wife dies before she becomes a Nesua to him. Now, what are they arguing about? The Tanakhama says that it belongs back to the father until the Nesuin, and Rabbi Nosson says, no, it belongs to the new husband, even though they never reached the stage of Nesuin, but as soon as the Erisin takes place, he's entitled to all these things that the father wrote as the Dunya for the daughter. So lema pluksa the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'Rabbanon k'miflugi. Let us say that this machlokes between the Tanakhama of this Braisa and Rabbi Nosson is paralleling the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What is that? None. This is a Mishnah that we have a little bit later in the Masechta on Daf Nun Dalit, where it tells us over there that none nis armila onis garsha. If the woman Nebuch becomes a widow, her husband dies onis garsha, or her husband divorces her. And this is true. It says beferish in the Mishnah, even if she's only in Arusa, beimin on nisuin, beimin on erisin. Even if this occurred, that the husband died, or that she was divorced, even after the erisin, and certainly after the nisuin, gova esakol, the widow or the divorcee is entitled to go collect the entire amount of the ksuba, both the mono or masayim, the base ksuba, plus the tosefis ksuba. She's entitled to get everything, even after the erisin. So the Tanakhama, the Chachamim say that the wife, after Erusin, if she gets divorced or if the husband Nebuch passes away before the Nisuin occurs, and certainly after Nisuin, she gets everything that's written in the Ksuba. So we want to suggest that this sounds an awful lot like the opinion of Rabbi Nasser, that just like here, the wife collects everything, so too, the husband collects everything in the case where Nebuch, she dies, in the case of there was just Erusin and not Nisuin. So we want to link up over here the opinion of Rabbi Nasser with the opinion of the Chacham and the Tanakhama. As opposed to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that min ha-Nisuin goes to go, yeah, I agree, if there was a full-fledged marriage, there was Nisuin, then Nebuch, the husband dies or the husband divorces her, so then in that situation she collects the entire kesuba, the base kesuba, the mona masayim, and the tosefes kesuba, anything else that was written in there from the husband to his wife. However, umin or erisin, but if it was just erisin, so then besula gova masayim, then she's entitled to the base 200 if she was a besula, and if she was an amona, in other words, she was a beula, so then she's only entitled to mona, the 100, so the base kesuba she's entitled to even after the erisin. But we turn to memzayin omud beis. However, she's not entitled to the tosefes kesuba. Why? Shlo kasav lo el amanas lekonsa, because the opinion of Rabbi Nazai is that that was essentially given over with the intention that if and when she gets married, so the full nisuin, that's when she's entitled to that. But up until then, no. So let us say that this opinion of Rabbi Nazai is in accord with the opinion of the Chachamim, in the Tanakhama of Rabbi Nasan, that says that no, that if he wants to collect all the dowry that her father put into the marriage, so he doesn't get to collect that if there wasn't Nisuin. If it was only after the Erusin, he doesn't get to collect it. So let us say that this Machlokas over here, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Nasan aligns with Lozan Azariah, and the Chachamim of this Mishnah, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Lozan Azariah, aligns with Rabbi Nasan. So Gemara says, Leman diomer lo zochar, according to the opinion that says, the Tanakhama in the Braisa with Rabbi Nasan, who says that the Kala, if she dies right after the Erusin, before the Nisuin, doesn't get the entitlement to all the Nedunya that the father put in, so that's exactly like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who said that if the opposite occurs, that the Chasen passes away before the Nisuin, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, in that situation, the Kala is not entitled to anything other than the base Kesuba of Manu Masayim. She's not entitled to the Tosefes Kesuba. So those two seem to align. And likewise, Uman de Omer Zocha, according to Rabbi Nasan, who says that no, the Chasen gets everything that was written into the dowry, even after just Erusin, even if they never had Nisuin, so that goes like the Tanakhama of Elazar ben Azariah. That goes Kirabanan in the Mishnah, who said that if the husband dies, Rachmon al-Islam, before the Nisuin, nevertheless, the Kal is entitled, go over Sakol, not only the base, Mon and Messiah, but also the Tosefes Kesuba. So let us say that these two align, these two machlokas in a line. So one says, not necessarily low. Because you could actually argue that both the Tanakhama of Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Nasan, they all hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Kuliyama of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they actually both hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet. And that, in fact, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that if the husband dies, Nebuch before the Nisuin, she only gets the mana or Masayim that she would be entitled to as the base Kesuba. If she was Besula, she gets the Masayim. If she was previously an Amana, in other words, she was a Be'ula, so then she's only entitled to a mana. She doesn't get the Tosefes Kesuba if Nebuch, the husband, dies before the Nisuin, just only after the Erusin. So everybody agrees to that. How do you explain it? We just said that the Tanakhama certainly aligns with that, but Rav Nosson doesn't align with that. So Mandi Amalo Zocha, the Tanakhama of Rabbi Nasan, who says that if the Kala dies, so then the Chasin is not entitled to the Nedunya if she dies before the Nisuin. So Mandi Amalo Zocha, that's exactly right, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we just said. But the problem was with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Nasan, they don't seem to jibe. But the Gemara says, no, they do jibe. Umandi Amalo Zocha, even according to Rabbi Nasan, who says that the Chasin does get entitled to the entire dowry, even though it was only Erusin and not Nisuin. So we say, Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ela mididei lidida. That's because everybody agrees with Elazar ben Azariah that when it goes mididei, when it goes from the chasen lidida to the kala, so anything that he wrote into Tosefes Kesuba, he only wrote that in with the understanding, Shalom Kosov Lo Ella Amanas Lekonsa. That was with the understanding that I'm giving this over because I love my wife, but only when I'm fully married does she even get entitled to this. He says, I love you very, very much, and look at what I'm bringing in as Tosefes Kesuba, but that's when we're married, when we're fully married. I'm not giving it to you now as a pre-marriage gift. I'm telling you, pre-marriage, that look what you're going to get, but that's assuming that we're going to get married. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, only in that situation, mi di day, from the chasen to the kala, that's where the understanding, shelo kasev la el amanas lekonsa, that's only with the understanding that it's going to be given over to her when they're fully married. But the other way around, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would agree with Rabbi Nosson. Avu midida, that which the father writes for his daughter, lididei, that the father puts in additional dowry. He puts in peros, kesus, and kalim. So that which the father puts in dowry for his daughter, lididei, that goes to the chasen. So here, even afilu Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would be molded to Rabbi Nosson, the mishum ichatunehu. That's to make the marriage get off the ground. That's to allow the marriage to occur. This guy is, has lots of offers. So the father has to entice the chosen into getting married. And in order to make the marriage go, he says, here, this is a present upon Erisin, Mishum Ichatunehu, because he wants the chosen to occur. He wants them to be husband and wife. So he's willing to pay that even if they're not full-fledged marriage, even once it's clear that he's going to marry because she's now his Arusa. And that occurred. So therefore, even though Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, from him to her, anything that he puts in to give her in the Ksuba, Tosefes Ksuba, that from him to her is only with the understanding that it'll take effect at the Nisuin. What the father puts in for the Dunya is to close the deal. That's to clinch the deal and to make the Chasana get off the ground. So that occurs even by the Erisin. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Nosson says, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would agree with me, and not that we align as being Bali Plukta. So the Gemara says, you can't necessarily align the Machlokas of the Tanakama and Rabbi Nosson with the Machlokas of the Chacham and the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet. The Gemara continues and says that Chayav Mizonosel Bechule, that the husband is obligated to go and provide Mizonos for his wife. He's also required to give clothing to his wife and housing to his wife as well. So Chayav Mizonosel Bechule, he has to go and support his wife. Now, this is true once there's a full-fledged Nisuin. Until then, she still lives in her father's house. Now, Tana Rabban will bring the following Braisa. The Braisa, we're going to have actually three different understandings of what the husband's responsibilities are to his kala. Now, Tana Rabban, the Braisa starts off and tells us the first one. Tiknu mizonosea tachas maisi yodel. The Braisa tells us that the arrangement that the husband has to go and support his wife, that he has the mizonos, that's quid pro quo tachas maisi yodel. The fact that if his wife works, she has a seamstress business, or she has a real estate business, or whatever she has. Any maisi yodel, any money that she brings in, so he's entitled to that because he's supporting her. And again, we've mentioned previously, this was a takana that was made for the benefit of the wife. No, she's a high-powered financial wizard. She's a CEO of a big company on Wall Street. And she says, listen, you're $100 a week. Did you give me a food allowance and a clothing and makeup allowance? So I make that in an hour, so I'm not interested. I don't want your mizonos, and you don't get my maaseh there. So she's allowed to say that because this is for her benefit. Normally, under most circumstances, she won't make enough maaseh there to cover her costs of living. But if she does, then she has the right to say, I'm not interested. So we're dealing here with a woman who doesn't make so much money, and Chazal Masakin, that the husband has to support her, and therefore he's entitled to Maisi Odel. Tiknu Mizonosea, Tachas Maisi Odel. Ukvu Rasa, and Rahman al-Hassan, if she dies, so the husband has to pay for the funeral expenses, that's instead of Tachas Ksubasa, that the husband gets to inherit anything that's in her Ksuba. It doesn't go back to the father, but he gets to inherit it. So in the fact that he's going to inherit all the Nichsei Malug, as well as the Nichsei Tzom Barzel, he's going to inherit everything that she brought into the marriage as dowry. So for the fact that he'll inherit that means he's going to have to go and pay for any divorce costs. And finally, Lefikach, it says in the Braisa, therefore, Baal Ocho Peros. Therefore, the husband has the right to consume the Peros, the usufruction rights of the Nichsei Malug that his wife brings into the marriage. Now, where it says, Peros, Man de Karshmayu. Where in the world did you get Peros from in this Braisa? You were talking about Mizonosel, you're talking about Kfurasa, and then you say, therefore, the husband is entitled to eat the Peros of the wife's Nichsei Malug. So Gemara says, Paris, Ma'adik HaShmai, what in the world are you saying Paris about? We didn't mention anything about Paris that you should be having a Lufikach. Therefore, he got to eat the Paris. So Gemara says, you're right. The Braisa was not complete. Chisur HaMechsov HaGitani. The Braisa was missing some key words, and let's fill them in now. And it should be read as follows. The Braisa should read, Tiknu Mizonosea Tachas Ma'isi Yodea. The first part of the Braisa is, as we explained, that's unchanged, that the Chazal were masakin, that he gets the Ma'isi Yodea because he has to support it. Then there's the part of the Braisa that was missing, Upirkona, the ransom demands of Rachman al-Islan, his wife, is captured, and the people that kidnapped her want to return her only if they paid a ransom. That is Tachas Peros. So the husband has to go and pay that ransom. That's Kineged, the Peros, the usufruction rights that he has for all these years that the Nichsei Melug are his to go and enjoy the Peros of the Nichsei Melug, all the years of produce that the field had. And then 10 years later, the wife of one of the son is captured, so then he has to go pay her back because of all the usufruction rights that he had for all these years. And that's the part that's missing. That's the chizur ha'masa from this braisa. And then the braisa continues with what we had before. Uksuba tachas kvurasa, tachas ksubasa. And the fact that he has to go bury his wife, that's kineged the dunya that her father brought into the marriage, the nirsei tzom barzo, the nirsei maluk, that her father gave it into the marriage. So the husband inherits that. It doesn't go back to the father. And that's kineged the obligation that he has to go and bury or take care of all the expenses for the burial. And then the Braisa said, Lafikoch Baal Ocho Paris. Now we understand, to a certain extent, what Paris is doing over here, because we had a section, Upir Konah, Tachas Paris. Therefore, the husband gets to eat the Paris. But the word Lafikoch is a little bit strange over here. And the word says, My Lafikoch. What do you mean over here when you're saying Lafikoch? Why is that Lafikoch over here? Therefore. So the word says, because I would have said otherwise. Ma'o de Tema, I would have said that Mechal Lo Nichlinu, like we had discussed earlier in this year. We might have thought that you put this into a trust account and that all the payros that come from her, Nidunya, that is Nichse Malug, so the husband is not entitled to eat that, and you put that into a separate escrow account for the girl that should she ever become captured, that will pay for it. Anuche Ninichinu, we put it into this escrow account, we put it into this account that can't be touched by the husband, because, Rahman al-Islan, that if his wife is ever captured, this will pay for it. But if we allow this, the imkain, as we said previously, mimna v'lo parik, he's going to say, listen, I'm not paying the penny more than what's in this account. And let's say the account is $1,000 and the ransom is $1,500. He's going to say, sorry, buddy, I ain't doing this. Again, it's very hard for us to imagine that a husband wouldn't do everything to redeem his wife, but looking at it from a cold, pure financial point of view, he's going to say, listen, that's the nest egg. Whatever's in that nest egg, that goes to Redeemer. If they want more, that's her problem, not mine. Therefore, Kamash Malon, Doha Adifa. Therefore, Chazal set it up and said, listen, as Rashi points out over here, I mentioned this earlier, that if we go and let him constantly eat from it, he's not keeping a close tab on, well, like $8,000, and she's being costing me $1,500, it's not worth it for me to redeem her. He's going to say, no, Mistama, over the years, I've eaten enough that now it's worthwhile for me to redeem her because I have gotten all of this benefit. And this way, the Hadifa, it's preferable, a Fikoch, that's why the Chazal set up that the Baal Ochel Peros, in order that there shouldn't be any hesitation in paying off the ransom. Because Zimnim, the Lo Malu, because if you were to go and actually calculate up how much he's eaten over the last 10 years, you would say, listen, it only adds up to $1,000, and they're asking for $1,500 in ransom, but he's not going to care. He's not going to keep such a close calculation. And therefore, even though Zimim, the Lomalu, Uparik, Lo Midide, he'll be more than happy to make up whatever is missing. He'll pay that extra $500 in my scenario, they're asking for $1,500, and he's actually only eating $1,000 because he's not really keeping such a close track on, well, I ate this much, I ate this much, I ate this much. He's going to say, yeah, this is quid pro quo, that just like I've been having the enjoyment of eating the payros from her Nirsei Maluk for all these years, so now Nebuch, I have to go and pay the ransom. I'll go and pay the ransom. And therefore, Chazal said this is much better and safer for the woman. So Gemara says, maybe the opposite. The Epochana, maybe we should flip this around. As Rashi says, in Dibra Masav Epochana, let us say that the Mizonos is Tachas Peros. Why don't we say that the Mizonos, the obligation to support his wife, so the quid pro quo is the usufruction rights, that he gets to eat the Peros from her Nirsei Maluk. Upirkona, and the redemption that he has to go redeem his wife if she's captured, that's Tachas Ma'isi Yoda. That would be the quid pro quo for the entitlement that he has to her salary, to her wages. And Rashi says the difference would be, the nafkamina would be, because in this situation, the Yomra, Eini Nizonas, I don't want your support, And in the first way we explained it, she's allowed to say, because you're not getting my handiwork, but here, the support is tachas the payros. The ani osa lo klum karma. So then she doesn't have the right to say that. So the Gemara says, why don't we flip it around? The Bebo Chanoa, so Amabai says, no, you can't. Because you go and set up this takana, tiknu motzui l'motzui. When Chazal set this up, he set up the mezonos and the ma'isi yadea, as Rashi says, on mitzuyin. These are regular occurring things, that she's going to have some side business that keep her occupied and make a little bit of money. And certainly the mezonos is something that's needed every day to support her. So the two common things, one is connected to the other. The mezonos is connected to the ma'isi yadea. They're both, as Rashi says, mitzuyin, as opposed to shivuya, that a woman should be captured and needs ransom. That's a very rare event. And likewise, it was a rare event to Isha, Sheyesh lo nirsei melug, lo shchichei, and that a woman should come in with nirsei melug. So that's also an unusual event. So therefore, it makes sense, Abai says, that if you're going to be misaking A, quid pro quo for B, and C, quid pro quo for D, it makes sense that A and B should be common things and not uncommon things. And if C and D, they're uncommon things, that makes sense that that would be the quid pro quo. So therefore, the way we learned it is correct. That's the first way to understand the obligations that the husband and the wife have towards each other. The Gemara says, Amar Rabba. Rabba says a little bit differently. He says, the Tana of the following Braisa, Haitana, Sovim Mizonos with the Raisa. He says that the Mizonos is a din da Raisa, not that it was a tikkun that the rabbi set up, a quid pro quo. This Tana holds that Mizonos is a din da Raisa, the Tanya, because this Tana learns the following in this Braisa, which says, when the Pasuk tells us, if a husband decides to take another wife, he can't in any way diminish his responsibilities to the first wife. And he has to still give her sheira, her share that she's entitled to, ksusa, the ksus that she's entitled to, vonasa, the owner that she's entitled to, lo yigra. Parshas Mishpatim, it tells us he can't in any way diminish that. Now, what does this exactly mean? Sheira, ksusa, vonasa. So the Tana of this price says that She'era, that's a reference to Elu Mizonos. And he bases it upon the following drasha in the Pasuk from Micha, where it says, V'cheinu Omer, V'asher Ochlu She'era Mi, that the Navi Micha is castigating the Jewish people and saying that the terrible leaders of the Jewish people at that time were essentially eating up Ochlu She'era Mi. They were eating up all the people's properties and destroying them. So there you see that She'era is a reference to the Mizonos. Now, Kisusa, that's kimashmo. Kisusa means clothing. So that's straightforward, no need to darshan that. And then onasa, what is that a reference to in the Pasuk? Onasa, this is zu'una ona hamura b'tora. This is the right that the wife has to have relations with her husband. This is, we view it in the vernacular sense as the woman's obligations to her husband. But the Torah views it as the husband's obligation to his wife, to satisfy his wife. So onasa zu'ona hamura b'tora. This is the obligation that the husband has to have relations with his wife at the appropriate times. Obviously, of course, I always have to say this nowadays, Nebuch, with the permission of the wife, you can't say, well, I have to have relations with you. That's what the Torah says. No, if the woman says, no, I don't wish to have relations with you, so obviously he's not allowed to have relations with her. But assuming that she wants to have relations, so the husband can't say, I don't want to have relations with you. He has to have relations with her at the set times that the Chazal prescribed as based upon this pasuk in the Torah, the Chayinu Omer, as the pasuk tells us, Im Taneh Es Bin Osai, when Lavan and Yaakov are saying their goodbyes to each other, so Lavan tells Yaakov, don't do anything that's going to afflict my daughters, Rachel and Leah. In other words, don't withhold from them having relations. So that's a simple way to understand this. And therefore, that's how the Tana of this price, according to Rabbah, understands Sheira, Susa, Vionasa. In other words, the Sheira, the Mizonos obligation, is a Din Doraisa. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar Omer, no, I darshan it differently. He says Sheira, that's a reference, Zuona. The Sheira obligation in the Pasuk, that's a reference to marital relations. And he darshans it out from the following Pasuk, from Sefer Vayikra, where it says, V'cheinu Omer, Ish Ish, El Kol She'er Bisaro, Lo Sikru Legalos Erva, that you're not allowed to go and Rachmana L'Tzlan have relations with a woman who it's forbidden for you to have relations with. She's in one of the Arayas to you. She's an Erva to you. And therefore, you see the Lashon over here, Kol She'er Bisaro, and that's a reference to Tashmish. So therefore, She'er, according to this opinion of Rabbi Elazar, is a reference to the Ona, the obligation for that the husband has to provide satisfaction, sexual relations to his wife. And Ksusa, that's Kimashmal, that nobody argues with. Ksusa means clothing. That's clearly what the words mean. Onasa, that's a reference, Elum is Onos. He flips it around, and he says that the Ona is the word She'era, and the word Onasa, that is a reference to the Mazonus responsibility from the husband to the wife. Onasa, El Mazonus. The Onasa obligation is a reference to Mazonus, as it brings down from last week's Parsha, Parsha's Voes Chanan. It says, V'chein Omer, V'yanecho, V'yarivecho. He says that I gave you affliction, Inui, V'yanecho, and what was that? V'yarivecho, that you didn't have any food. You were starving. You were in a state of re'avon, of famine. And therefore, you see clearly that Onasa is a reference to Mazonus. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. We turn to Memchesam and Aleph, and then we have a third opinion as to how to darshan the psukim Sheirok who saw the Onasa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, he says that no, She'era is a reference to Kisusa. In other words, he reads the two together. He says She'era Kisusa, that the word She'era modifies the word Kisusa, and that the entire statement over here, Sheirok Susavi Onasa, is all reference to just the cloak. And She'era modifies Kisusa, and so does Onasa modify Kisusa. That's what Elizabeth Yaakov says. What do I mean? So the Gemara says, She'era Kisusa, what is that referring to? Lefum She'era Tein Kisusa. According to her bodily needs, according to her She'era, her body, so She'lo Yitein Law. Lo shel yalda lizekena, lo shel zekena liyalda. In other words, as Rashi says in Lefum She'era, zekena kasha lo masui ve'enu yichol lisbol begadim rechavim, that an older woman is going to be difficult for her to wear certain types of clothing, and she's not going to be comfortable in a young lady's type of clothing. And the Alda and a younger girl, she needs wider clothing in order to be comfortable. So again, the clothing that a young girl wears is going to be uncomfortable in an older woman, and the clothing that an older woman wears is going to be uncomfortable on a younger woman. And therefore, you must give her ksusa that is appropriate for her she'era. That's a realism in Yaakov, Dashan's word, she'era ksusa. So it says that when you're giving the clothing obligation to your wife, it has to be age appropriate. Don't give an older wife the clothing that a younger wife would wear, and vice versa. Don't give a younger wife the clothing that an older wife would wear, an older woman would wear. And then he darshens the second part of the pasuk, Kisusa, the Onasa, that again, Onasa modifies Kisusa. Lefum Onasa, Ten Kisusa. The time of the year. Ona here doesn't mean the sexual relations. Here it means, depending on the time of the year, you give it time of the year, weather-appropriate clothing. Lefum Onasa, Ten Kisusa. According to the time of the year, you have to buy your new clothing in the summer. Don't buy your winter clothing in the summer. And don't buy your summer clothing in the winter. Shlo Yitain Chadoshim. When you're buying your new clothing, Bimosa Chama, that are inappropriate for the winter. Lo Shechokim, and don't give her worn-out clothing, Bimosa Gishamim, when you need heavier new clothing and not this lighter material. In other words, the word Onasa modifies Kisusa. At the right time of the year, make sure you give her the right time, right type of clothing. As Rashi points out, Lefum Onasa, Lefia Ace, Imchama, Imtzina, if it's hot or it's cold. So the Chadashim are normally warmer clothing. They're newer, so there's more fabric there. There's more heat that's going to be generated by such clothing. So don't give such clothing in the summertime. Chamim heim yosim in hashchokim. So the newer clothing is going to keep somebody warmer than the more worn-out clothing. So in this situation, in the summertime, don't buy the new, hotter clothing. Buy that in the wintertime. And likewise, in the wintertime, don't give her somewhat worn-out clothing. Don't buy her a summer type of a blouse or a skirt because she's going to be cold. So again, according to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, the pasuk that says that you're not going to go and lo yigra, don't detract from giving her she'era ksusa v'yonasa. It's all modifications of the word ksusa. She'era modifies ksusa and onasa modifies ksusa, as opposed to the previous opinions that were brought down, the two previous opinions of this brisa, that there are three separate obligations over here, and just the first opinion argues with the second opinion as to which one is marital relations, is it She'era or Onasa, and which one is Mizonos, is it She'era or Onasa. They all agree on Kisusa that it means clothing. This is a great break point. At this point, we conclude today's shiur.